If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Second half of the program begins right now. What are you so giddy about?
It's the second time in a row we've had a fun, smiling picture from...
I tell you, the goalpost one in the background was a good one. That was a solid one.
My wife liked that one.
Did she?
Yeah, she did.
There he is, the man at work, the goalpost in the background. I'm sure she did. What do you got now? Let me see this one.
Well, actually, this is a little reflection off the shade, so maybe for the glass, I may have to redo that one.
Well, that's... your wife ain't gonna like that one. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Show him.
I'm not. You know, the most photogenic.
Let him approve the photo before
human.
You send it.
She probably liked the first one because she hadn't seen you in a month.
You doing everyone?
What'd you say, Rob?
She probably didn't like the first one so much because she hadn't seen him in a month. She's like, "Oh, that's what he looks like. That's what he looks like in St. Joe."
Yeah, we talked about that when I got home. She was like, "Hey, I saw they took a photo of you," and I was like, "Yeah. Do I look as tired as I am?"
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So very it's been good.
It's funny because I got home and my wife said, "Oh, you're not going to take that Chiefs beat and just stay there?" She was really hoping I'd take that gig, but no, honey, I'm home. Great to see you too. Yep, that's how it was at my house. Nate Taylor's with us from the Athletic. Great publication that you can get online, The Athletic. And, of course, he handles the Chiefs beat, joins us here in the program to talk some Chiefs football. Nate, how are you, buddy? Got a day off yesterday, right?
Uh-huh. Well, kind of a day off. I still wrote, but I slept in my own bed a lot longer than getting up at 6 a.m.
And didn't have a practice to go cover.
That's
or,
true.
Or any quotes to get. So that's kind of a nice rest. Now back at it tonight with the first game, and I'll ask you the question that we kind of started things off with today in the program. And I've got a couple more I haven't gotten to yet, but just what you want to see tonight. Is there anything in particular? I think everybody wants to see Patrick Mahomes run out there. But is there something you want to see Patrick Mahomes do? Is there a unit, a side of the ball, a coach, anything? Anything that you're like, this is really what I'm going to be looking at, kind of subplot to what's going on tonight with the first preseason game.
Right. So I would say two things. Patrick, for sure. Just the tempo. I think that's what I asked Eric Bieniemy a few days ago. Just what's this offense going to be? How quickly do you want to get in and out? Because with Alex Smith, you never had to worry about that. Like, he knew the call. He knew how to set everybody up. He knew how to get going. As a first-time starter, you know, a guy who's gotten, you know, the majority of the reps, how quickly can you just get guys in the certain place they need to go to make the correct reads, to get the best out of these plays, which are obviously going to be vanilla. They're not going to show you anything. They're not really game planning for the Texans, say. But you just want to see a good progression of what he has done so far in training camp. And then secondly, with the sudden news of Daniel Sorensen going down and being, you know, pretty much done for the preseason and probably the first 2 to 3 weeks, how's his safety position going to look? Because I'm not sure Eric Berry's going to play a ton. So you're going to get a lot of look at guys like Leon McQuay, Eric Murray, the young guy, Amarnie Watts. He'll probably play in the second half, I'm assuming. So where are the safeties going to be, and how much will tonight determine what Brett Veach and maybe the front office does in trying to get a guy in free agency?
I'm very much of the opinion that this defense needs to be, and you know, across the board, they need to be better. But Daniel Sorensen should not have taken a starter out for them. If they have not gotten to the point that they don't have a guy starting over him, then they have a problem. We know the nickel is going to be Amerson coming in, right?
Right,
so they're going to bring in the third corner. Fuller moves down to the nickel spot.
The slot,
Slot spot, the traditional nickel spot. But the guy who comes on the field for the nickel will be Amerson, so it's not another safety yet. The next is going to be who, and was Sorensen – and I get that he may have been running around out there. There are guys that I see running around out there with the first team that I'm like, I don't think that's – like Cam Irving. Everybody is loving that Cam Irving.
I kind of love Cam Irving.
I'm not convinced that Cam Irving is the starting left guard because I've seen this movie before.
Mm-hmm.
And they will run guys all through camp, and then all of a sudden opening game, it's like
here's Parker Anger.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So,
which could happen. You know.
Is Sorensen really still – the starter as a safety for this team? Because if he is, that's a problem.
You're not going to like this answer, but yes. I was told at several points during training camp that the starting safeties going into training camp, coming out of training camp, were Eric Berry and Daniel Sorensen. Just because Daniel Sorensen, and I even think I asked Brett
Veach
this. Is
that to keep a carrot in front of Armani Watts?
Oh, of course. Of course. But I asked Brett Veach this, I think, in the Q&A that I had with him last week. And the idea, he was like, Daniel Sorensen is limited, of course. We all know that. But he's going to be in the right spot. He's going to do the assignment football that you're asking him to do when you assume Eric Berry is going to cover up everything else. I think plan, and Brett didn't say this, I'm just now kind of speculating, but I think the overall team's plan was to have Daniel start the year, and then by week 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, if Armani Watts has learned everything, has shown some talent, gets some more reps, then obviously he would be thrusted into the starting lineup with Eric Berry. That's the plan, but I don't think at any point when they drafted Armani, they were going to say, like, oh, he's going to start day one. And then, unfortunately, he had some nagging injuries that kind of kept him out of minicamp and the start of training camp.
And that's why he was there in the fourth round.
Yes.
Because that's his history at A&M.
Right. He has some injury history. He tried to bulk up. The way Brett explained it to me was he tried to bulk up because some people thought he was undersized for a safety in the NFL, which you can make that argument. So he bulked up, ran a slow 40, and fell in the draft. And now he's trying to get back to where he played at Texas A&M. But with that has come a little bit of an injury bug so far, and the fact that he's just got to learn the system. And if you look at the unofficial depth chart, which I don't know how much real – I mean, it's unofficial. That's right, what I'm saying. Right. Like, I don't know how much you can take from it, but he's fourth. He's on the fourth-team defense, which you don't want your rookie safety to be in, but you hope in October he's the guy – who you can rely on and count on to make some plays out there, even if he is a little undersized.
I'm going to be frank. He better be the guy that
he
runs
better
out
be.
There in the first game. It's a big problem if he's not. I mean, they drafted all defense,
mm-hmm.
a new mindset, tougher, more physical. You know, want
right.
to play with an edge and a chip and all this blah blah blah. If I watch the same crew run out there, minus Marcus Peters, right? Fuller for Peters. Amerson for the hodgepodge that was out there
right,
at the other
the Terrence Mitchells of the world.
Yeah, that crew. What changed? Where's this edge coming from? Xavier Williams?
Well, I think the edge is coming from up front. I think Brett and
but who's
Bob
different?
Sutton.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. But
you same defensive coordinator. We got a different linebacker coach, right? That
yes,
changed.
Yes,
Gibbs is back. Is not back.
Right.
But then, you know,
they're banking on a healthier Justin Houston, a contract year for D Ford. You did
but
draft,
that's, but that's not
you
an
did,
edge.
You,
that's just health.
You did draft Breland Speaks, so let's see what his potential is. You know, first couple games of the year.
That's number one on my list of what I want to see.
Right, now. Right. Well, I mean,
Breland Speaks.
You can make that argument. He'll probably be with the second team defense, and they might play the majority of the first half. So, obviously, he's the highest pick that they took in the draft. But the defense overall, I think, is banking more on the front end than the back end. Whereas I think next year is probably the time where Brett Veach and the front office will try to continue to redevelop that process, understanding that you have more veteran, more experienced guys up front than in the back.
But if they draft all defense and none of them get on the freaking field.
Well, I mean, Derek Nottie will get on the field. He'll be in the rotation. Breland Speaks will be in the rotation, particularly on third down.
Down or on first down?
Well, it depends. I mean, who do you prefer, him or D Ford?
D Ford, I'll take a shot at turning the corner on D Ford. I kid you not. I think I will. And I might even let Curtis be my left tackle and do it because I think we could get the edge on him.
Yeah, right,
he's
right.
Not, he's not
right.
going to push up
right.
the field. And so I don't want him out there anywhere near a running down. Which is scary because every
this
down
is how
a
they've operated.
Down.
Right,
I know.
Right. This
and
is
that's
how they've
why
operated.
That's why. You know, there were a lot of people that had a lot of concerns and were very vocal and didn't like the Chiefs draft. There were draft pundits who listen, and I don't mock anybody who mocks, right? Mock drafts. I don't belittle. That's a better word to use here. I don't belittle anybody who puts the time into trying to break down the whole draft because
right.
I know how hard it is, and all the guys who do the star rankings for high school recruits
mm-hmm.
coming out. What an incredible undertaking, and I respect the hell out of the people that will put their name next to such a massive undertaking, right? So I'm not going to hate on anyone, but I'm not going to buy in that Breland Speaks. Like 6 and 8 called in today, and he's like, Breland Speaks is a fourth, fifth round pick.
Oof,
and there were things that said he was.
Yeah, well, I did. Look, when they drafted Breland, I had to go Google.
And we all did. We were all like,
right.
Wait a minute, this wasn't on our radar screen.
Right.
And then you say his name 500 times. You read 500 things, you become familiar, and then it fits. See, it did not fit on draft day.
Well, Brett,
it was a reach,
right? Well, Brett,
according to the draft pundits.
Well,
now, I'm always willing to give the benefit of the doubt that the teams know more, and that they did their job. So I didn't heckle Veach like a lot of people did for Taken Speaks. And Naughty was considered a one-trick pony, no pass rush, can only play the run.
Right.
They get him in the third round. Dorian O'Daniel doesn't even have a freaking position in the third round. Like, I'm not going to hate on the draft because I see what they were trying to do. But listen, if we want to have a high school debate class and you take defend the draft and I take prosecute the draft.
Let's do it.
I feel like I'm going to kick your ass because I'm going to give you – like, there's all kinds of red flags that are out there. Now, I'm not screaming about it
yet. We haven't played a game yet.
But, man, if nobody's going to get on the field, I want to see these guys get out there, and I want to see them play with an edge. And the other thing is, I'm not buying – like, Justin Houston plays with an edge.
Yeah, of course.
Right? I think Kendall Fuller, being a Virginia Tech guy, because I know how they play, is going to play with an edge. I think David Amerson's going to be soft, right? I hope he can cover a little bit. But
we'll see.
If you get Sean Smith out of him, I'm thrilled.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what I'm looking for. Daniel Sorensen is not going to hammer anybody. Eric Berry's going to play tough. They're going to be more physical because of Eric Berry.
Right.
I don't know what to think about Hitchens. I've seen him play, but I don't know.
I like him.
Like, the Steeler mindset is what we're looking for. Where is it coming from if the young guys aren't a big part of it?
It's coming from Eric Berry and Justin Houston. And this is what I would say is, you know, in the NBA circles, what you would call a transition year, where you draft somebody knowing that they have talent. And I think Brett would probably, to some degree, agree with you that he reached because he looked at the, you know, how they graded everybody and said, if I don't take Breland right now, he's the last, quote unquote, could make it pass rushers left in the draft. That's how he evaluated, and then he went and grabbed him. But I think the hope for the Chiefs is, and their sort of logic thinking forward is, we're going to take all these guys, they're going to all grow and develop together. So that in year two and year three, they will be what we think they can be as far as toughness, tenacity, understanding scheme, playing hard. But to count on them this year is kind of, I mean, it's a crapshoot. I mean, who knows? Maybe Armani Watts gets out on the field and, like, does amazing things. Maybe he's better than Daniel Sorensen from day one. Could happen. Or Bob Sutton could rely on more guys who are experienced, who understand his system more. And, again, I think they're hoping that, please, Justin Houston, like, Just give us another vintage year. Eric Berry, can you stay healthy? Because if those two guys falter, if those two guys get injured, they're pretty much back to where they were because now you're relying on rookies who are obviously going to make mistakes in year one versus being seasoned, being developed, and maybe making some impact in year two. That's why some people are still high on Tano Passanio because he's physically bigger, he's mentally prepared, he's gotten a whole year to learn the system, and now it's the year to go make it happen. That's going to be the same case for, I think, a lot of these, you know, five defensive rookies that they took in the draft where, hey, we want to get you on the field now and we'll see where we are. But understand this youth movement is not just this year. It's going to happen, I think, next year and perhaps 2 years from now, too. That's my argument, or if I'm doing it from the Chiefs perspective.
Yeah, and my argument is
someone's got to play on the field right now.
Well, you took a bunch of guys that all have to go on and off the field. Right?
As of right now, yes.
You don't have, like, you got to get down to Watts before you get, like, your first three picks are situation guys.
Yes.
Speaks to me.
Third
is
down.
Not going to drop.
Third down. Third down. Maybe first, depending on what you're asking for.
So, like, have you seen it?
His best skill.
How can you see it? Because you don't see any padding. I almost cussed right there. You don't get to see any padded stuff till tonight. That's why tonight's exciting.
Right.
That's why Speaks is the guy that I'm really looking at. Because I want to see him go out there, set an edge. I want to see him go out there and put a rush on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not hoping for anything in the pass rush. I think he's got a lot of work to do. Like, that's where, like, offensive tackles are going to own him. He's going to come out and try to be stronger than the offensive tackle, and they're just going to engulf him. I think he's going to get destroyed on pass downs. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I'm not a scout. I didn't watch all his games.
He could have the athleticism to be best utilized on third down is probably how I would phrase it, where, yes, he may be strong and can set an edge, let's hope, better than D Ford on first down. But in terms of, like, situational football, like you're talking about, his best attributes as of right now with his athleticism, I think, leads to him having most success on third down. Not maybe getting a sack, but just getting to the quarterback, providing pressure, making the quarterback move from his spot.
Get Tom Bahali's career up, Curtis, because That's the comp, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I that's mean, what they said, right.
And it is. It's perfect. That's not lip service. I agree wholeheartedly because he played D-line at Penn State, and they moved him to outside linebacker, which is a switch that people make all the time right. in the league, all the time in New England and Pittsburgh. Give me the sacks for Halib Ayer.
Okay, sacks 8, 7.5.
Stunned at 8. All right, I'm back
3,
off.
8.5, 14.5, 12, 9, okay. 11.
Well, early on, he had more than I remembered. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember being 8 in that first year. But he also played D-end in a 4-3 that first year.
First 3 years, he was D-end. He went to outside linebacker in 09, the first year of the time.
How many did he have?
Let's see, 8.5. Okay. And then went 14.5, 12, and 9.
Yeah. So, and 11. You know, I guess he did have more of a presence. So, look, I think it's bad news if he doesn't get Dee Ford on the bench soon. First of all, we expect one or both of those guys, Houston and Ford, to get right. hurt, don't we? Because they seem to always do. Although Houston deserves some credit. He played all 16 last year.
Yeah, Houston has – I have obviously more confidence in him than Dee Ford. But, if it, again, I may change my tune in September, late September, early October. But, I mean, Dee, if it's going to happen, man, it's going to happen. And he said all the right things so far in training camp. I will give him that. I'll give him the credit. But, I mean, if this is the year – If not now, win, my man.
Yeah.
If not now, win.
Because the payday's out there. If it's not just about right. the team and, you know, being all you can be, well,
right.
then the check is there as the motivator as well. I mean, if he wants to get a big check on the other side of this already big $9 million check he's mm-hmm. getting this year, then he's got to go play. Is it possible that I should pay attention to Rob? He's wanting to break. Let's do this. I'll break. And when I come out, here's what I want to ask you.
Uh-huh.
Are we... 3 months from now, going to be saying Brett Veach made a real tactical mistake and his inexperience showed with the media when he started talking this toughness edge thing. And that it ends up being that, like, that's great to say it, but we're all going to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 weeks in, when you're getting run all over, like, hey, where's your toughness
mm-hmm.
is going to be thrown in his face. We'll talk about that next. Nate Taylor from The Athletic is with us here in the program.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt end of the hour answer. Yvonne Rodriguez, number one on the list of career hits by a catcher. Not as a catcher, by a catcher, a full-time catcher.
What did he end up with, 2,900, 28 something?
2,854, I think it was.
God.
Who is second on that list? He is celebrating a birthday today.
Hits by a catcher, not hits at the position?
Yeah, not as a. He is actually fourth hits. As a catcher, but he's second. On
so it's not Joe Torre, who played a lot off the spot. Ted Simmons.
Ted Simmons.
You like that Ted Simmons?
I think he's just. I love players who I think are really 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 underrated, and he's one of those guys. He wasn't a great defensive player, but man, could he hit?
Is it like Tano Passanio?
Something like that.
Okay. Hey, Rob tells me for the first time all day.
Tickets.
We got 4 tickets to give away. A family 4-pack.
Oh, yeah.
To go see the Chiefs play tonight, all you got to do is be caller number 8 right now at 913-3810-810. Tickets are courtesy of me. Me and me only. I could have taken these tickets and gone myself, but I'm not. I'm going to give them away. That's a complete lie.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that none of us can have them. They are to be given away to the listeners. So.
And if you win, you know how many people get to go to the game?
4.
4.
Yeah. That's right. Consuela. Can confirm that later. If you're not a Family Guy viewer, you won't get that joke. 913-3810-810, the phone number. Give us a call right now. Caller number 8 is going to win themselves 4 tickets to tonight's game. You can go see the debut of Patrick Mahomes as the official starting quarterback of the Chiefs. We're talking to Nate Taylor. He'll be there.
Yes.
Covering the beat for The Athletic. Nate, you can see all his work at theathletic.com. What are the odds that Brett Veach is going to regret talking about the edge and the what I forget which words? How did he put it? Was it edge? Play with an edge? Play with a chip?
Play with toughness.
Toughness.
And toughness is like the key word. Much like when I covered the Pacers and Kevin Pritchard said the word gut punch like 8 times on draft night after it was revealed that Paul George wanted to be traded. So Brett Veach is, as you know, I always come back to this. I'm like, what are these guys supposed to say in like April? Like,
right?
You gotta please the fans. You gotta kind of start to set a standard for guys who are coming into the team as draft picks. He said toughness. He said toughness like not a hundred times, but you know, I'm over.
He said a lot.
Said it a lot, and he's
probably did say it 100 times in multiple interviews all over the place.
Right, right.
And I want to be clear: I'm not setting the guy up to fail, setting the guy up to fall, because I'm not. If they're not very tough, I'm not going to hammer away at him because I believe Andy Reid has complete control of his coaching staff. And I don't think Brett Veach is going to tell him, we're keeping Bob Sutton. And Andy Reid was like, I want to fire him. No, you're keeping him. Like, that conversation definitely didn't happen.
I'm going to assume that didn't happen.
And I think the easiest way to change the mindset of a defense is to change the coordinator. And they didn't do that. So I think this is a massive undertaking. But I think he might learn. I love how open and honest I think he is. But he may find out why Andy Reid is so hidden behind a veil with everything he says and so calculating and tries to say nothing if they're not a tough team. If they're giving up 158 yards a game on the ground and they're giving up 379 overall and they're 2-4 and they're giving up boatloads of points, he's going to regret that statement.
You can always regret anything you say after the results. But I think for Brett, I think the idea, and as I've tried to understand his thought process, and I appreciate him being open to us, is that it was a personnel decision versus coaching decision this year. Part of why you draft 5 defensive players is for the personnel standpoint. I wrote this back in the OTA period about, like, you know, can you make an argument for anyone who's under more pressure from a defensive coordinator standpoint in the 32 teams?
No,
I can't think of anybody.
No,
I can't think
no.
of anybody who's got the hot seat more than Bob Sutton if things don't go well in the first 4 weeks. And again, the schedule is really, really
Dallas
hard.
Dallas, maybe. It's got to be a team that has playoff aspirations, thinks they're a playoff team.
Right.
It almost has to be a team that was in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
that sees the defense as the part that has to get
right.
better. I think.
And there were some defensive coordinators who got head coaching jobs, so those teams aren't, you know, in this category.
And if Alex Smith were back, I would say no. Because there'd be no built-in excuse to blame everything on, or there'd be no other likely spot that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They could have problems at quarterback with a young guy like Mahomes. But, no, I think your point's 100%. I think he's got to be under the most heat.
Right. So so Brett made the move, and you know, Andy Reid is very loyal, and I say that to as many people as I can when I talk. He's loyal. He wants to see this go through as best he can. And so this is the year for Bob to figure it out with a whole new group. And unfortunately, it's a lot of young guys and it's a lot of new guys, and they got to gel together very quickly. That is why some people make the claim that training camp is beneficial for them, because they're in St. Joe and, like, you got to talk, you got to eat together, you got to sleep together, you got to, like, go through all this stuff together, because there's so much newness to the defense. But I mean, Brett said, we have to get tougher on defense, because if you look at that Tennessee, you know, playoff game, which this is kind of like the last day or the last few days where you can reference that, they got ran over by Henry over and over and over again. And the secondary didn't want to tackle in that game when you needed somebody to tackle once he got past Derek Johnson, who was obviously slow toward the second half of that game.
The less they wanted to tackle.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And, I said this a couple times, but, like, Justin Houston said he was playing on one leg last year. And you could kind of see what he was saying, because in the second half of that playoff game, he didn't have the juice anymore. Like, he was effective in the first half, but they ran away from him, and he didn't make as great of an impact as he had
in
the first half.
And I heard you quizzing him. And if his answers to you up at training camp were right, then he is going to be healthier than he's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
I will point out that on one leg, he was the number 3 rated outside linebacker all around in the total package of his game. Number 3 overall outside linebacker in all of football last year, according to Pro Football Focus. So that's pretty freaking good.
He's still good. He's still good. But
really good. Number 3.
Yeah,
third best in all of football on one leg.
But
D4
said he's going to be back to the 22 sack elite level, which, you know. We'll see.
A lot of things got to go right to get to 22 sacks.
Right, we'll see. But this was Brett Veach's direct quote, and I want to mention this, because this is what he said the Monday after the draft. Quote, I knew we had to get better on defense. I knew we had to get tougher. That was the first time he really asserted this mindset of, we got to get better. In order to get better, you got to get tougher, which is a direct lineage to the fact that we stunk in the second half of that Tennessee Titan game when we couldn't tackle Derrick Henry whenever he had the ball in his hands.
Yeah, a lot of what they're saying is we got to be able to protect the lead.
Yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. And get some turnovers, which is the biggest issue I think I have with this defense, is I don't know where these turnovers are going to come from.
I turnovers are great, but if you can actually force a punt, you don't have to get a turnover.
Right. And I will say this. Mitch Holtis made this very good point to me right before training camp started, because he has – more. He does even more research than what the NFL provides, and he's great at the statistical stuff, and that's why he's one of the best, I think, radio announcers in the league. But he said, "Did you know, Nate, that in terms of third and six or longer last year, you know where the Chiefs ranked?
Last.
And I looked at him and I went, oh. And then I went and just started watching more and more tape in the course of like early June and. Late June and early July, you know, getting ready for training camp, and it's just like every third and like long, I was like, I bet they convert, and it's like, yep, they did, and it's like, whoa. So, yeah, you're right, Seren. Hey, can you get a stop on third and seven? Because part of that is tackling, and part of that is just, hey, be in the right spot.
The only way they got a stop was to create a turnover.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way they got the other team off the field,
or to force somebody into a field goal when you were backed up.
Finally, yes, a chip shot usually at that.
And that third and long thing, it blunts any crowd advantage. It's one of the reasons why it was so big in the 90s was because they'd make a play on third. If the crowd gets up, it's third and six. It's third down. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh, eight-yard completion.
I feel bad. Who's the announcer now? Who's the stadium announcer? Is it Dale Carter?
Dale Carter, yes.
So he does mm-hmm. a really good job in the stadium of trying to get everybody going. But, you know, does he, like, turn off the mic after he says it's third down and just look over and go again. Like, because that's what I'd be doing as soon as I click the mic off and be like again.
Yep. But the fourth time again, on that drive, like, the fans are going, I don't have it. I'm not getting.
I don't have it.
Yeah, it's like you're five for your last five on third downs. Right. I'm not getting up and rocking the house.
They had a non sellout for a home playoff game in January, and they gave up every third down in the second half. Think about that. The defense on that field, think of all 11 guys, every time Tennessee had a third down opportunity to convert, they converted with not a sellout crowd at home. So if you're Brett Veach, you got to say, we got to get tougher and we got to get all defense so that, one, it appeases the fan base, but two, you got to say something, and that's the best he could come up with at the time.
They do need to get tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I come back to. Houston and Barry are tough. They're in another guy. Even Chris Jones. I love Chris Jones, but I don't see him as like, I don't see him crushing anybody. Right?
He got. I will say, watching film and talking to my buddy Seth Kaiser.
I think he's a very good player.
He got a lot better towards the latter part of the year. And again, when he got hurt at the start of the third quarter in that playoff game, their run defense went real bad.
He's a tremendous player. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anyone to hear me wrong. Tremendous player, but he's not nasty. Right? You think of Chris Jones as a guy that, like, when he gets the back.
When you compare him to Justin Houston, no.
Yeah. Right. Does he get the back and then pick him up off his feet and slam him to the ground?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's getting harder and harder to do because they take the rules away from him. But, like, when you think of Pittsburgh Steeler football, who plays Pittsburgh Steeler style? I mean, the Steelers drive you into the ground on the tackle. I mean, you watch the game and you're like, when are you going to throw a flag on this?
And it's a mentality.
It is.
It's a mentality from top to bottom.
And they go into the game and say that we want you to hurt getting up after every single play, and that will wear you down in the end.
Yeah, and mentally, if you're somebody like Alex Smith, you start to get a little happy feet, and you start to make decisions quicker than you would like.
Okay, and so this is where, and I've had this conversation with Jeff Chedia about how, and Curtis has run the numbers on, bottom third to top third, right? Being a bottom third defense, of course, Chiefs were bottom three or four in defense. But from bottom third to top third, it happens, and it happens way more often than people realize.
Mm.
And I said that to Jeff. I said, you know, it does happen, you know? And he says, yeah, and it almost always happens with the change of a coordinator.
Mm.
And if you're not changing the scheme, that's why I'm not.
Right.
He's not optimistic at all that the defense is going to be any better. And I'm going to be saying Jeff Chedia all year. Jeff Chedia said.
And I love Jeff.
I do too. But if they're getting freight trained up and down the field, because here I am, dopey me, having some optimism, giving him some credit, and Jeff is just like adamant. No.
They're not going to get better.
No. Like, it's not going to happen.
Unless,
and if he's right, I am going to sing his praises from the mountaintops, because I don't know how Bob Sutton suddenly makes him tougher. Because I do think one of the things you got to do if you want to play physical and if you want toughness, you got to play a tough defense. That means you got to come forward. And they haven't really brought it.
They didn't attack much last year.
No.
They kind of sat back and played bend, don't break, you know? And if these guys were playing tonight, which I don't believe they are, or I'm not going to play a lot, I would have said maybe the inside linebackers would have been the most intriguing position to me, because Anthony Hitchens is incredibly smart. And I wrote about him during training camp. The dude is cerebral as heck, and you love that. And, you know, when you ask Brett Veit, hey, who was part of this whole toughness deal? Like, who is it? And he mentions Anthony Hitchens pretty much at the top every time I've talked to him about it. Reggie Ragland showed some toughness last year. Now, obviously, he got to stay healthy because of the whole knee. And,
right.
You know, we've seen what that has done in his previous career because he missed his entire rookie year with Buffalo. But if those two guys are tough, if they are as nasty, if not even a little bit more nasty than Derek Johnson in his prime, then you got something there. But I think you're right. I mean, a lot of this is the Chiefs. A lot of this is opponents know what the Chiefs are going to do, right? Because mm-hmm. Bob Sutton's been around for 6 years.
That's right.
This is going in year six. Like, is there much that he's going to change up on or, you know, do something different? And if you have Eric Berry and Justin Houston healthy, Bob, now would be the time to at least try some new things. Just
unleash the fury, man.
Just try something different. And if you want to be if you want to play in a more attacking style, because you think you got a quarterback that can get you back in games a lot sooner, a lot quicker than, say, you know, Alex Smith, then why not? I mean, if you're if you're Bob Sutton and you're having a real conversation with him, and I think he's very good at about trying to explain his thought process, and he talks quite long, quite in paragraph form. But if you're having a real conversation, you're like, hey, man, like just go after it. Like, what do you have to lose? Because you guys could be 8-8 just because of Mahomes. So why not? Like, just why not with what you got? Go for it.
Yeah, they're going to have to be tougher. There's no doubt. All right, we'll take a break. We're talking to Nate Taylor about the Kansas City Chiefs, what to expect tonight. More of that next here in the program. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Is this thing on? Got it on? Yeah, there you go. Always nice when the mic's on. Makes it so much better for the listener. We were chatting about your future. Sure, it's true. Probably didn't want it on the air, but Nate was telling us he's had enough of you. so we're listening. Nate Taylor from The Athletic here talking Chiefs. With us, Petra.
I didn't say that, Rob.
I was talking to Rob. No,
he said it with a smile and a laugh, but no question. He left no doubt.
And then he did that little shake of the head and the wink. I mean it. I really do. But anyway, we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, what we're looking to see tonight in the game. And I do want to see an overall physical presence out of this team. And I want to see Dorian O'Daniel. He's one of the guys we have not talked about yet. And mm-hmm. we have not heard much about him. And I always shudder, you know, when you're talking about a guy who's a situational guy in the third round. I mean, I really believe first, second, and third rounders need to ultimately be starters
yes.
on your team. And they seem to have taken a guy. That's where Nadi and him,
yes.
who are kind of situational guys, to me, you know, now maybe they don't see Nadi that way. And they see him as a potential every down guy. And he's got more pass rush ability that Florida State just didn't let him use it. Okay, fine, let's see it. But, you know, tell me what we're going to see out of O'Daniel now.
Well, it's one of those things where there's so many guys on the field, and I try to explain this to folks. Like, they're going from first team to second team, and then they're rotating some guys in, and you just, you know, you're looking at so much.
That's what makes tonight so important.
Right, right. And while I'll probably watch the game, you know, I'll watch it, you know, at home when I get home tonight. I'll watch it a second time, and then I'll probably watch it another time this weekend. But – O'Daniel is intriguing because where the league is headed, right? And so if you're Brett Veach and the front office and the scouting department, you're saying, well, we need somebody to be like a big hybrid and nickel dime passing downs who can be a freak on special teams. And I think that's where O'Daniel will probably make his biggest impact sooner rather than later, is being on the four kickoff you know, situations that you have in the NFL.
I'm going to tell you what he looks like coming out of college is DJ Alexander. That's what he looks like, and that's where I'm open to. I think your point is a good one, and I certainly give him the opportunity to be this.
Mm-hmm.
You say where the league is going,
right?
I think he's either way ahead of the curve with this pick,
could be,
and I'm going to be like, okay, this is Brett Veach, the Theo Epstein of football, right? This is him mm-hmm. seeing over the horizon
right.
and where it's going. And they took the perfect linebacker. This is the
in
new
space,
linebacker.
Right? The perfect linebacker in space. Yep.
Or I'm going to look at it and go, nope, they took a special teamer in the third round, and that sucks. And I don't think there's any in between.
Like, there might not be.
I don't think he's going to be like, you know, he was pretty good. I think he's either going to be the second,
intriguing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he's going to be like, in the third round, you know, Kerryon Fox is another guy he reminds me of. undersized linebacker can run. You know, we're going to do. Kerryon Fox, the Steelers actually got some every down play out of after he left Kansas City. But here in Kansas City, he was nothing more than a special teamer.
Right.
And that's fifth, sixth, seventh round. And not even fourth round. Well, I tolerate that because fourth round's where you get a chance to, for a second time now, in the old days, first time,
right,
re-rack your board. Who came off? Where were the runs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know.
See what other teams need.
Yes, this guy's up there, right, but there's seven more guys just like him, but there's only one more wideout over here who grades as a day one, and there's only one tackle that grades as a day one. So we're taking one of those two guys because we're going to get one of these eight safeties
right
later on, and you get a chance to replay the board. So fourth round needs to be well done. And so all the way through the fourth round, third round cannot just be a special teamer.
Well, I don't. The thing is, like, there's so many bodies in front of Dorian that I'm interested to see like where he would fit. I mean, the best logical place, especially with Sorensen out now, is dime, and then special teams because there's just a lot of linebackers in front of him. And
well, that's what I think. So, but where does like if you say Raglan is a Veach guy because he traded for him?
Yep, traded for him.
Hitchens is clearly a Veach guy.
Yep.
He signed him.
Yep.
Where is the spot? Ever.
I mean,
now if he ends up being just incredible on dime down and he has four interceptions and he's all pro special teams, and I'll be like, listen, they took the best player available, and I'd rather have a great guy,
right,
coming to make an impact the plays he's out there than just take me a jag because there was a position open for him.
Right. I may say something wild here, and this is just totally speculation. No one has told me this, but he should be good on dime. Perhaps nickel, if the situation is right for him. And then no one's told me this. I'm just going to say that one more time. No one in the organization has told me this. But if things get dicey, could you move him to safety?
Man, I think you could. I mean, they talk about it. I would tend to think no. I would tend to think you know.
It's hard. It's a discussion to have at maybe some point this
year. Name me the guys that you remember ever being talked about as a safety linebacker type and which position they ended up playing.
That's a good question on the spot.
The one guy I give you is Thomas Davis out of Georgia who went right in front of Derek Johnson to Carolina. And he was supposed to be, he could play either one. He's a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter Coakley. Supposedly could have been either. He played linebacker for the Cowboys. All those guys tend to end up being linebackers.
Just because they're closer to the offense and they're better sideline to sideline.
Where I'm open to him actually playing is that Reggie Raglan, they didn't give up much to get Reggie Raglan. And Raglan's going to do his thing. And maybe, like I said, third round for me, if he doesn't start this year, that's okay. But next year he needs to find a starting spot. And Raglan will be going into his fourth year next year. I can see him moving out Raglan.
Well, it depends on Raglan's health and obviously his production this year. But yeah, I mean, the Chiefs try to be a little bit ahead of the curve, I should say, in terms of special teams, and particularly, I think they're trying to get better at situational football on third down, passing down situation, because obviously where the league is going from statistical to, you know, rules to the fact that there's just going to be more quarterbacks who are potentially ready when they get into the league. So, O'Daniel is the hardest rookie, I would say, to project what he's going to be out of these five guys. Because, you know, we can go down the list and say, well, Breland can be Tom Bahali. You know, Derek Nnadi could be, you know, tough guy who's consistent, who can have a real 8 to 10 year NFL career doing one thing really well, but obviously could play some passing downs if necessary. Tre'Mont Smith, I love that guy because he could be kick return, punt return at some point, really fast. Maybe he can be a reliable situational corner. Armani Watts, he can maybe be the guy who can create turnovers back there, who could be tough, who could be kind of a bullet going in and out of the sort of situations from the safety positions. Because as of right now, Bob likes to use both in very similar roles. Oh, Daniel, it's kind of hard to see because you want him to be kind of a threat on special teams to really, you know, collect tackles, be a specialist, and then potentially rush the passer on third down or be someone who could, you know, do really well in space. But where that goes from a sustainability standpoint 4 to 5 years from now, it's kind of hard to say.
I remember him at Clemson. I like Clemson. Mm-hmm. I like what Dabo Sweeney, so I watch a lot of Clemson, and I follow an ACC school, so I've seen them play a number of times. And the one thing I remember about him and all the Clemson linebackers is like, boy, life is good for them with that defensive line. And he is a guy that can fly around in space. And I think if they had a great defensive line, we'd love him. Because he'd be
shooting gaps.
Well, and I think he might even be the green dot guy. Because he definitely can play the passing downs and play them really, really well. And so maybe that is the future. Maybe this is like Raglan was, hey, it doesn't cost us much. It was a fourth rounder, I think, for Reggie Raglan. And we get him in here. He's better than a fourth rounder. And maybe he ends up covering the kicks. And Daniel ends up being the guy that's going to go out there and play. I don't know.
Yeah, especially if the NFL continues to get faster, which it always seems to do. Then who has more speed? Obviously, it's O'Daniel. So, I mean, it's so interesting because from a linebacker and even from a safety standpoint, like, do you really want guys to bulk up at all anymore? Or do you want them to be able to make the play and wrap up and tackle?
Well, and that's the thing is, like, the toughness thing usually comes, people think of in rundowns. And so you want to be physical in the rundowns, but most analytics guys will tell you that stopping the run is one of the more overrated things in football.
You gotta convert on third down, like we talked about earlier. And part of that is being there, seeing the ball, wrapping up, and making the tackle.
Yeah, we'll see if it happens tonight. I think we're all looking for that toughness out of the defense, better success out of the defense, and of course, Patrick Mahomes.
Woohoo!
See, we've talked
football,
Patrick Mahomes
finally,
for weeks.
Finally,
yes, we do
football, semi-real football,
yes.
But football.
Yes, and wearing a Chiefs uniform, Nate. Great stuff, buddy. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
We'll see him next week up at training camp at St. Joe. We will take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk some more football, some more Chiefs football as we continue to get you ready for tonight. Jonathan Jones from Sports Illustrated will be with us next here in the program.